Hello, dear listener, it's Daniel. Now, before we get to this episode, just want to remind you, me and Core just launched a Patreon. For $7 a month, you can get exclusive content. Now, how do you sign up for said exclusive content? Well, we made it easy. There's a link down in the show notes, or go to patreon.com/litdpod. We'll see you soon. Now, let's get to today's episode.
Tree in their yard at their house, and this tree had demons that lived in it. He didn't know they were demons at the time, but like, you know, we know now, like, these were demons. And he said so they would throw rocks at this tree and the tree would throw rocks back at them, and they would speak to the tree and like the tree would, you know, speak back to them, but it was like they were playing with it, like it was like a friend, right? And it's like I said, the crazy thing is it was always casual conversation. Like if he's talking to an angel, for example, like he's talking to this angel like it's his friend. Or if he's talking to a demon, he's not talking to it like, you know, like God rebuke you in like the name of Jesus, like you have to get out, like, you know what I'm saying? Like it was like very like, you're not allowed here, go. Like, right, like it was like, he just knew his authority. And I always appreciate that, to the point where like, that's the way I try to live my life today. Maybe I'm speaking to just like one person, but if you're listening to this, like you're listening to someone who just has seen how redemptive the Lord can be. And if you're in a season of life where you just feel like you've lost everything, if you feel like you're too far gone, or like you've made too many bad decisions, like you just haven't. That's not true. Right now, I just speak to whatever lie the enemy is saying, and I just tell that voice to be silent.
Welcome, truth seekers, light bearers, and the lost, to the Light in the Darkness podcast.
We hope this show can shed some light on whatever leg of the journey you're on. We are your hosts. I'm Corey.
And I'm Daniel. Welcome back, everybody. And while you're back, I think it's important that we talk about something that might be on the back of your laptop or your car. Or your Stanley Cup. What might that be? Well, it's a 3.5 by 3.5 piece of absolute utter joy that will bring smiles to the face of everyone that sees it.
Indeed, Daniel. Now, both seeing the color of your Stanley Cup and thinking about the newest revelation I had for a use for our sticker takes me back to a vacation I took not so long ago, where as part of this vacation, I went up to old San Francisco and saw, well, the Golden Gate Bridge.
Really?
And I have to think, that's a lot of steel. That's a lot of metal. And there's a lot of cars riding across that bridge on the daily basis. But I bet it ain't half as sturdy as a couple of these stickers slapped together and stretched over a body of water. That's right. These are bridge stickers.
Yeah. Not only bridging the gap between one piece of land to another, but also bridging the gap between you and that person sitting across the room from you. Use this sticker as a conversation starter, and who knows, maybe a relationship forms. That's right, you could use this to meet that special someone.
A metaphorical bridge. You did it, Daniel. You did it.
Oh no, is this
beautiful?
Is this the meta?
No, it's poetry.
Is this the ether? Am I out there?
It's poetry. Stop being so scared. Get the fear out of your eyes, Daniel.
Should I stand on my chair and say, oh, captain, my captain?
He was just using terms he doesn't fully understand, meta and all that kind of stuff. It's okay. It's okay, Daniel. You're still solidly planted right here in South Carolina, and our stickers are available for your donation of absolutely any amount. You can get a sticker to make your very own metaphorical or literal bridge by going to litdpod.com/support, or by clicking the support support the show link down in the show notes and giving a donation of absolutely any amount.
Corey, how? I'm floating into the ether. Where's the bridge?
Well, he didn't take his sticker to keep him tethered, so I guess I'm going to be finishing this one on my own. Maybe he'll float back by in a few minutes. We'll see what happens. So we got a great show for you here today, folks. Well, today's guest is someone that Danny... Oh, there he goes.
Oh, I had a sticker in my pocket.
Good job, Daniel. Keep them things on you. You know what I'm saying? I was just starting to tell the listeners about today's guest, but that's normally your bit.
Well, now that I'm back and not out there in that crazy ether meta type soup, today's guest is Austin. How did Austin come to us? Well, he had birthing class with Abby and myself, and I wore that wonderful shirt that we've mentioned on the podcast before that says, "Ask me about my podcast." And you know what? He did. And here we are.
And 45 minutes later. That's how it goes when someone asks us about our podcast.
Oh, yeah. And I knew he was Church of God, or at least he grew up that way. Because guess what? You hit that moment where no one else is in the parking lot, but you and the person you're talking to, and class had been over for an hour. Yep. I knew he was hooked.
Taking you back to old memories of after church with the faint taste of grape juice still on your tongue from communion.
Yes, and that unexplainably slightly soapy taste from what they call a wafer, but seems like you should be filling holes left by drywall hangers with it.
Yeah, that's a very apt description. Any hoozle, Austin comes on the show today, and he regales us with tales of his life and his grandfather's life. Austin's grandfather grew up in Trinidad, where he was a Hindu who at the age of 16 met Jesus, had a radical encounter, and changed the path of his whole family. After many stories about his grandfather and seeing him do spiritual warfare, Austin shares his testimony of him getting serious about Jesus and starting to follow the Holy Spirit's leading. So this one is a good one, ladies and gents. And if Daniel can stay out of the ether, we'll see you at the end. But for now, I'm going to quit my yapping. Let's get to it.
Welcome to the show, Austin Johnson.
Thanks good for to having have you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We are very excited.
This has been in the works for a little bit, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You had some stuff get in the way, you know, with scheduling. You want to talk about that for a second, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're had a baby.
Really?
Yeah. Believe it or not. It. Yeah. I don't remember what the date, how far back. Yeah. So me and Daniel were in the same birth class, and we just kind of met through a very Holy Spirit led circumstances in the birth class and having conversation. And it feels like having a baby. I mean, you know, it's like, it feels like it was so long ago, but also feels like it was yesterday.
It does.
And then we tried to make it work, and then we wound up having our baby 2 weeks after he was due. And then we're finally just making it happen.
Right on. Welcome to the world, Brody.
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast, Brody. Austin.
Brody River Johnson. Yeah.
And, dude, we are excited about this. Excited to see where it goes. And, I guess sticking with tradition, let's go back to the very beginning, because that is a very fine place to start.
Yeah.
And would you, for me, Corey, and the listeners, paint the picture of the home you grew up in and the spiritual atmosphere therein? What did that look like, sound like? Like we've talked about, you know, people going to church Sundays, people dabbling in things they shouldn't, all of the above. Take it away.
God, where to even begin? That's such a loaded question or way to start.
Oh, yeah.
Just all going all the way back to the beginning. My dad was a pastor in the Church of God, music pastor, and COG all the way. Grew up in the Church of God. And my dad being a music pastor, I was that kid that was always in like choir rehearsals and band practices, just being obnoxious and hitting stuff with like hitting the drums with like things I shouldn't be hitting it with, and trying to play every instrument on the stage. And, you know, but I loved it. Like, honestly, I can't imagine growing up any differently. That was like some of my favorite memories. Yeah. So we were always in church, you know. Church of God pastors tend to jump around. You don't really stay at one place for the most part. So, you know, and I love my upbringing, but that's kind of, you know, that was it for me. You know, my mom, so I'm half Indian. My mom is originally from Trinidad and Tobago, where she was born. So I wasn't really exposed to like that whole world of Indian culture until a little later on. But yeah, I mean, we were church people. We were in church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday night, most Friday nights, you know, pretty much every day of the week, it felt like. And when we weren't in church, we were hanging out with, you know, our church friends, my parents' friends and their kids. And yeah. Does that help answer the question? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let me go ahead and phrase it like this. Having spent quite a bit of time in the Church of God, this is your, to a degree, standard Church of God pastor's kid. Mm. Everything you did revolved around church. Like, you hung out with church people. You were at church more than 2 days a week.
At the Church of God kids camps?
Absolutely.
The pastor's camps, actually. Pastor's kids camps,
You probably also went to regular church camp during the summer.
Yeah.
Maybe Royal Rangers, too. Okay, see, I'm reading your mail. I got you.
Royal Rangers, Bible, JBQ, Junior Bible Quiz.
I got you.
All that, yeah.
Cool. I mean, I relate to that a lot. I'm checking a lot of boxes in my head as you tell this. And yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I always love to hear that somebody grew up in church. God was a like everyday part of their life. It was just, that was the norm. Mm. It's beautiful.
Real quick for the listeners, very brief synopsis on what Royal Rangers is. Because most people are going to have no idea what you're talking about.
I got you. Christian Boy Scouts is how I will say it. And that's not a shot at Boy Scouts. It's just, this is more Bible-based, Bible-focused, and you will find yourself in the Word every time you're going after a badge or sitting down with good men and boys of God. All the knot tying and all that, and arrows and fire and good stuff.
All the fun of Boy Scouts, but Jesus is also involved.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Having laid that groundwork, let's get into more of the meat and potatoes here.
All right.
So, the supernatural being all things of God, and the paranormal being everything else. When did you encounter either of those realms for the first time, and what did it look like?
Yeah, man, that's a great question. I mean, I could speak to both.
By all means.
Probably most of like the paranormal side, I don't have like a lot of firsthand like encounters. It's all through other people's like experiences. I think I maybe have one off the top of my head that I actually experienced, but I'll get to that later. But on the supernatural side of things, I mean, you know, Church of God is very charismatic, and we believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And along with that comes all the crazy stuff that you hear about. Yeah, I think some of my earliest experiences with like the paranormal side of things are, you know, being in a service and someone, you know, just starts manifesting. And when you grow up like I did, we always had like a room that they took them to on the side of like the stage normally. And that's where they, all the, you know, elders and like the people who are involved in that kind of go and deal with it, for lack of a better word. So like it was always very, I remember thinking like, it's very hands off. Like if you see someone manifesting like a demon or something, like as a kid, it's like freaky, and you know, the adults deal with it, right? Like they take that person to the side, and then eventually that person comes out, and normally they're fine. You know, you don't really see what happens there. But then I was a very like curious kid. So I was always much more interested in like what actually is happening. The good thing about that is for me, I'm half Indian. So on my mom's side, my pawpaw is originally, and I kind of mentioned this, he's from Trinidad and Tobago. So he was originally born as a Hindu. And this is kind of long story short, I'll get back to the paranormal side, but this all kind of ties in. So he was born a Hindu, was supposed to be a pundit, like a Hindu pundit. Essentially, it was like a Hindu like priest or pastor, you know, for lack of a better word. And And his last name is Ram Kasun. So it's based off of two Hindu gods, Rama and Krishna. And so he's pretty high up in like their caste system, you know, like classes. Like your name is everything when you're a Hindu, right? Like, so it kind of tells other people like how important you are and sorts of things. So because of that, being anything, practicing anything but Hinduism is a huge just no-no. Like, you don't do it. So my papa was, you know, born Hindu in Trinidad and Tobago, which is a melting pot. For people that don't know, Trinidad is like a melting pot of religions and culture, and it's in the Caribbean, South America, and it's a third world country. So all of that makes for a very much like witchcraft ridden like place, you know, like, because you have so many different versions of Hinduism and Muslims and all that going on that it's just so common.
Is there also like a contingent of like voodoo and hoodoo is there,
yeah,
as well? As,
okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, for sure. I thought so. Yeah, yeah. So it's like all just kind of intertwined, and you have people, I don't get too much into it now, but you have people making up their own religions now based on like, you know, different things they like about like Hinduism or Islam, and it's just wild, you know. And but so my papa, getting back to the story, my papa was a Hindu, and when he was I want to say 15 or 16. He has a book out there, and I could probably even get it to you guys, but it tells the whole story. But he just happened to go into a theater in Trinidad, and they were playing The Life of Christ as a 15-year-old. And he wasn't supposed to be watching that. Maybe I think he thought it was something else, which it probably would have been like a Western for them, because that's really all they had access to in that time. And it wound up being The Life of Christ, and he just radically is saved in the movie theater as a 15-year-old, you know, Hindu kid. And well, actually, I take that. He wasn't probably radically saved. He had an encounter with the Lord, like a radical encounter with the Lord, in this theater in Trinidad and in Mirabella, which is southeast Trinidad. Anyways, and he has encounter with the Lord, has no reference for it, you know. I'm sure had no idea what was actually happening, other than he just had an encounter with the Lord watching, you know, The Life of Christ. And he went home that night, and the encounter just didn't stop. Like, you know, his the way he describes it, it's like he didn't even have words. Just the Lord was like, just like showering him with just like love and like something he's never felt before. And so he has a big family. And obviously, you know, like I said, being a Hindu, especially in his case, you know, practicing to be like a Hindu pastor, for lack of a better word, he sits on it for a little bit, and then he eventually decides to tell his parents. And that didn't go over well, so they kick him out of his house. And so he is a 16-year-old, you know, just decided, like, you know, I'm no longer going to be a Hindu. I'm just going to give my life to Christ and do whatever that looks like. I don't even know if he had a Bible, just being honest. I don't even know if he had access to it. He just had the one encounter, and that was it. And his parents kick him out of his house. And there's so much more in this story that I could tell. I mean, I could literally be here for days, but to make a long story short, you know, it's like he eventually finds his way. I'm sure he, at some point, he got a Bible, and he just completely, it wasn't like a long thing where it took him time to realize what he wanted to do with his life. It was like an immediate, like, I want to do everything I can to get this message out there. And that's the kind of encounter it was. And so eventually, you know, he played guitar, and, he just would preach on the streets in Trinidad just by himself. And he would preach on what he knew, which wasn't much, right? It's like all he ever knew his whole life leading up to that point was, you know, Hinduism and all the different gods they worship and stuff. So, my papa gets radically saved. He's 16. He eventually winds up, you know, making two friends we call Brother Sam and Brother John. Those are his two best friends since he was probably like in his 20s. And they were just three of probably the only kids their age in Trinidad that were Christians, and that not just were Christians, but that actually wanted to like pursue like that life, a lifestyle of Christianity, and, you know, like miracle signs, wonders, that sort of thing. Like they were just all in. It wasn't like 50%, 60%. It was, we're 100% in this. So him and his three friends, just for the next, I don't know how many years, for the next season of life, they just travel the island Trinidad and preach the gospel wherever they can. Yeah. And that's my background. That's why I'm here today. He's like the patriarch of our family. You know, like my mom's one of, actually 10, I almost said nine, but 10, my mom's one of 10, and every single one of my aunts and uncles are like spirit-filled believers because of him, the choice he made when he was a 16-year-old kid. So, which leads me into the whole paranormal thing, right? So, because of his like previous life, you know, like that, I'd like to think there was all sorts of things that were portals or whatever you want to call it. I'd say portals, right? Maybe that's not the right term. But
open doors, portals, open doors, you know, call it what you want, but we know what you're talking about.
Portals is the first word that comes to mind.
That's cool.
I just think portals is cooler.
For the purposes of this show, in place of open doors, henceforth, yeah. Portals.
Yeah. No, but like, you know, practicing like, you know, a completely different religion that's full of witchcraft, right? Like, and so demonic. It's like, whether you like it or not, I guess that just kind of followed in him, you know, into his life. So he, in the best ways, he was very aware of like, the spiritual side and the demonic side of everything. Like, he has stories that he tells. And this is why I say a lot of my encounters aren't mine. They're like just kind of encounters through him, the stories I've heard through him. But he told me things like, you know, when him and his brothers were little, they had a tree in their yard at their house. And this tree had demons that lived in it. Essentially, like he didn't know they were demons at the time, but like, you know, we know now like these were demons. And he said, so they would throw rocks at this tree and the tree would throw rocks back at them. And they would speak to the tree and like the tree would, you know, speak back to them. But it was like, they were playing with it. Like it was like a friend, right? Or, so like, that's just one of many stories that he has, you know, living in Trinidad. And this was pre-Christianity. So, he didn't know any better, right? He has stories of like him and his, he had a big family. All my family, Indians grow like crazy, you know? So they were, for example, you know, like they would go to the river. He said one time they went to the river and he remembers all his brothers playing and they were like swinging from this like branch or something. And he remembered being on like the swing and then something just pushed him into the water. And when he got pushed in the water, he like was drowning, like something was holding him under, like he could not get out. And he said he thought it was one of his brothers just kind of like playing a mean trick or whatever. And then he gets up and realizes like there was no one around him. You know, he was just being drowned. The demonic like realm was so real for him, you know? So, you know, becoming, and again, there's like hundreds of stories I could tell of like those sorts of things like happening to him. And so when he became a Christian, it's like, he was so aware of like that side of things that he was just constantly seeing, you know, like everything that was going on. It's like we would be sitting in my living room as a little kid, or his living room, not my living room, at their house. And he would be talking to, I don't know if he was talking to angels or demons, probably both, you know? And he was like saying like, I remember, so just put in perspective, I remember one time I was probably watching TV and I was sitting on their couch and it was just me there. And I remember he was like talking to something in the corner of this house and he was telling it to stop looking at me. Like he was like, you have to stop looking at him. Like he's not like, it was so long ago, but I know because it felt so strange. And that was the first time I remember being like experiencing that. I didn't feel anything because I was so little that I don't think I was aware enough to feel anything, if that makes sense. But he was like telling this, I'm probably the demon like that was like trying to like get my attention in the corner of like, he had these weird dolls that my Maje, who was his wife, my Maje had these weird dolls that she would put in their corners and they were always creepy. And I think it was like over there in the corner with the weird doll. And, probably why I don't like dolls or clowns or any of that stuff to this day. But
that's fair.
But he was just talking to like a normal person. I think that's what I always appreciated, is he was never scared to talk to a demon, like in the sense, like he felt like he had to yell or raise his voice or like say like, get out of him, or like, go away. Like he would just talk to it and use his authority, right? Like we grew up to believe in the believer's authority. As a believer, we have authority over all things. So like I grew up seeing a fine example of that in my papa, just speaking to the things he saw and not getting angry with it. That's like a holy anger, but like not expressing in this way that you would think he would, you know, because he knew his authority over that thing. So he would just talk to it like a person, say, get out or stop or whatever he was saying. I was just this little kid, like something's happening, you know, but I don't know.
So that's what you grew up around. I mean, I got to take it back a little bit. When you said this 16-year-old kid found Jesus and left home.
Yeah.
I stopped for a second and I was like, me at 16.
Right.
Like I think I gave my life to Christ by then, if I remember right, but would I have left home? Would I have left my family and just been like, no, I want that. Then to get a group of kids just as on fire for Jesus and go around this island nation and just start preaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't get past that. That's so radical. And then like, this is the atmosphere you grew up in. Mm. What did that do for you as a grandson? Like, wow.
Yeah, it definitely marked me, you know, like I'm marked to this day. I'll always be marked by that. And, my papa was, y'all are gonna have to cut this out. I don't like crying.
It's okay.
But he was like my best friend, you know. He had a huge family, and somehow he was able to be the best friend to every single one of his grandkids. Where there's 24 of us, you know, he had 10 kids. But it marked all of us. And growing up around that, it's like you take it for granted until it's not there, right? I don't regret anything. Like I don't think I actually took it for granted, but I realized like there were things that had I been more aware of in the moment, that I would have definitely taken it in more, you know. But he was like a gift, you know. And growing up around that, it's just I can't. It's hard to relate to other kids because like I haven't met anyone that has had the same. I mean, everyone has their own experiences, which are beautiful and in their own way. But like I've yet to meet someone, or yet to meet someone even then that like I could relate to when it comes to like just growing up in that atmosphere of like being aware of all things. So yeah, it was wild. I mean, like I said, he's the patriarch of our family. He's not here anymore, obviously. And I feel like kind of responsible, also honored to be able to carry that on in my own way as like a worship pastor now, you know, and to be able to give that to my son, who's 2.5 months old eventually. And to be able to tell him about that, you know, I feel like the responsibility of like passing that on to him, like that, almost like a mantle, like you hear people talk about mantles, right? And, that's kind of what it's like. And I can only say that from my experience. I mean, I have other cousins that all kind of gone their own way, for lack of a better word, you know? But I think not one of them, even if they're, I have cousins that probably would say they're atheists now, but even they would say like they were marked as a kid by him. And like there, I know like there's no way that, how do I say this? I know that there's no way that they aren't going to eventually find their way back. Right. Because it's like ingrained in us. Right. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And that's the kind of man that I aspire to be, you know. I would say probably the same for Danny Boy over there. Like that's the kind of guy that we aspire to be. Like, you know, Daniel as a father and me as a future father and grandfather, that this is our goal. This is what we want our life to be, is to leave an indelible mark on people. And there are blessings and there are things that are spoken over people over infants when they're held in arms, and the Lord doesn't forget any of those things. There isn't a prayer that is prayed over anyone that the Lord forgets. We may forget, it may be lost to time, but I totally understand what you're saying there with that.
Hearing you say that, and Corey, you kind of read my mind a little bit on that one. Like, we always talk about generational curses a lot, I feel like, more we've talked about generational blessings, and the more you talked about your grandfather, it just seems like this mantle, this anointing, and it seems to get passed down, because you were talking about like all his kids are just loving Jesus, and then his kids' kids are loving Jesus. And I keep going back to the fact that it started with a 16-year-old kid who dropped everything he had, his support system, and said, Jesus is my support system, and chased that. And I just feel like I would be crazy if I didn't acknowledge the fact that there could be someone listening right now who's going, I want to reach out to Jesus. I want to follow him. And maybe they're just, I don't know, maybe there's this little thing in their way, but there's something to be learned by the scenario that you just laid out.
Mm.
And it seems like your grandfather was taken care of every step of the way to a wonderfully prosperous life, to have all these beautiful children and grandkids, and you're a worship pastor. You're seeking the things of the Lord. Like, that seed took in you, those moments you had with him, seeing him function in this realm, in the spirit realm, and his relationship with Christ, it did something. I mean, that's generational.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see how that looks in Brody, you know?
yeah. No, me too, Chelsea. Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, I don't like talk like openly about this as much as like I want to. So like even talking about it, like with y'all right now, it's like, if I look back on like my life, I mean, it's like, obviously I owe it all to Jesus, but I'm so thankful that he made the decision he did when he was at, you know, at that age. Like, he didn't have to, and then I don't know, would I be here? Would I not? Like, what would my life look like? Right. Like, who knows? Right. And, so I'm just so grateful. And like, another thing, it's like, I find myself more and more, especially the older I get and like having a son now, it's like, I'm so grateful that I get to worship freely and I get to like, you know, sing as loud as I want to on a Sunday about how much I love Jesus. Like, I can never take it for granted enough, because like, he couldn't do that in his own family. Like, I can't imagine, you know, not being able to come to my mom or dad as a little kid and talk about the Lord or questions I had or like anything, you know, and he didn't have that. And the fact that he was able to stand still like his own 2 feet, I aspire to that, right? Like, I have this, I'm blessed to have the support system I do, you know. I mean, my family life wasn't the greatest, but they at least knew the Lord, right? And like allowed me to like have a relationship with him. They didn't even allow it. Right. So like, I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
So I'm just grateful.
No, it's wild, because we in America don't really have a baseline or concept of like what it means to be a Christian in other environments. And like, you growing up, you hearing these stories helps you to value it more. And even still in America, it's still hard, because everything is so easy in pursuing the Lord. Everything is the persecution. It's gradually ramping up, but it's more social persecution. It's not physical. Like, I didn't grow up around Indian culture, but I grew up with a pastor who had been a missionary in India for 5 or 6 years. And, you know, I remember stories that he would tell growing up. They ran a Bible college, and there was this one student, this is back in the 90s, where American church culture, which is what, you know, they kind of brought to India, was, you know, business casual kind of thing. And they had this guy that was showing up late to Bible school, and he was a little disheveled. His shirt would be untucked and things like that. And, you know, like, after a couple of times, they pulled him to the side and they said, hey, you know, we need you to value being here. We do have a dress code, you know, tuck your shirt in, you know, wash it. It's a little dirty, you know, and show up on time. You know, we value being on time, and we value, you know, you're kind of dishonoring other people's time when you aren't on time. And he said, oh yeah, of course. Week or two goes by, keeps happening. And eventually they pull him and they're like, hey, we're going to have to remove you from the program because you can't abide by the policies we're setting. We've asked you to honor everyone's time by showing up. We've asked you to honor the Lord in the way you present yourself. And then he opens up and he says, well, the reason I'm not showing up on time is that my first day of Bible school, my family took me outside in the backyard and they beat me.
Wow.
And they said, every day that you go to this Bible school, every time you go to this school talking about Jesus, you can go, but there will be a price to pay. And this will be your life every day, as long as you continue to do this. Mm. And he decided to take that cost. So every day that he would go to Bible school, he first had to be taken out in the backyard and he had to be beat by his family. That's the reason for the disheveled clothes. That's the reason for him showing up late, because you don't know how long that beating is going to last. Mm. And this is the price that believers around the world have paid to call Jesus Christ Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
Since the inception of Christianity, for 2,000 years, this is the price that believers have had to pay. And yet we struggle to get to church on time because we have to stop by Starbucks or, I don't want to get on a soapbox and I don't want to condemn and I don't want to shame or any of that. Mm. But there is a lot to be thankful for in the liberty we have in America that we so take for granted.
Mm. Bro, but I have such a smaller version of that from my perspective, and it wasn't even my story, but somebody close to us that you and I know told me a story of a kid, first time to youth group, and they went into like the main sanctuary or something. A long story short, he put his feet up on the pew. You know, the old school pews, you lean back and you throw your feet up on the one in front of you. And one of the elders saw this kid had never been in church. He was just there, you know. And the elder walks up and just smacks his feet off the pew. And I'll be honest, I never heard the end of the story until a couple weeks ago, sitting across from the youth pastor. And he said the kid never came back. The first time I heard the story, I went, oh, good. Yeah, respect the house of the Lord. You know, maybe some tough love. You hear the other side of that story and it's like the kid never came back.
Mm.
It's just so interesting to me how we handle situations. And you really never know what's on the other side of that. You don't know. Was that kid just happy to get out of home? Was he getting beat up or something? And so to receive that same treatment in the house of the Lord, and he was like, this place is no different. The story you're telling of the kid getting the heck beat out of him, but he's still going. I don't know. There's just something has shifted in me in these last couple of years to have a heart for people and to have a heart for people right where they're at.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
To not expect them to see things from my point of view, to not have this expectation of this is the only way. You know, Jesus is the only way. How would Jesus approach this? How would Jesus handle this? And I don't know, man. I think we get so caught up in traditionalism sometimes. And as you were saying, the way of the American church, I'm not saying the good things don't happen. And like you said, not here to throw shade. It's just, are we doing it through, you know, the lens of love? Are we walking in love? And it's just something to live by. JC, man, he did it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying.
And I'm not saying I'm blameless or spotless in all this. You know, I've been late to church because I didn't brew my coffee on time or whatever, or late in terms of like when I'm supposed to be there, which is early. So it's like, you know, just we can all do better. We can all take a step forward. We can all grow. We can all value Christ, and we can value the opportunity to come together as believers in a nation where we have the freedom.
And if you want to help that scenario, can I please just brag on Austin's church, who Abby and I have been visiting lately, and they lay out a pastry buffet and have coffee waiting on you. I'm just saying, it does take a few things out of the morning routine. That's all. I know there's a lot of opinions about coffee in church.
Funny enough, we actually had a guy that came, I guess it was like a year ago, and I heard through someone else that he told his wife that they have to come back for the pastries.
Hey, bro, you got someone.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, maybe that's the way it is now. I don't know. But I just thought that was so funny. Hey, like, if you come back for the pastries and then you have an encounter with the Lord, I don't know.
I had someone who was active in outreach ministry tell me one time, they said it's so much easier to talk to someone about Jesus when their belly's full.
That is true.
And I was like, really? They're like, oh yeah. You put some pulled pork and slaw on a plate and let somebody chow down. And they said, talk to them while they're eating, talk to them after. But it makes a difference.
Yeah.
Because one of those carnal needs is gone and all of a sudden you can focus on the spiritual. Basic practice, but it made sense to me.
Yeah. So where we left off in the story of Austin was you had told us that you saw your granddad speaking to angels, demons, whatever it may be in the corner. What were some of your other encounters? What were some of your other experiences growing up?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a lot like what I said, like that was just one experience, you know, being in his living room. It was a lot of times it was at their house. We lived with him later on in life as I was a teenager, like four or five different times. Me and my mom lived, you know, upstairs of their house. And, it was always like when I was little, if I would go to their house for the summer for weeks at a time or something, that's when I would have all those different encounters and, you know, or being in his car, for example, and like, he's just talking to, you don't know, right? Like whoever it is, he's talking to something or someone. And it's like I said, the crazy thing is it was always casual conversation. And this, like, if he's talking to an angel, for example, like he's talking to this angel, like it's his friend. And, or if he's talking to a demon, he's not talking to it like, you know, like, I sound blasphemous. Like he's not talking to this demon, like I rebuke you in like the name of Jesus. Like you have to get out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was like very like you're not allowed here. Go like, right. Like it was like, he just knew his authority. And I always appreciate that to the point where like, that's the way I try to live my life today. You know, I love the church that I'm at now because I'm supported by a group of like a body of believers that believe in that. And I at the end of the day, I owe it all to him because I never saw someone that was, how do I say this? Like scared, right? Like I never saw like fear in him when like he was talking to, you know, what should be like a fearful thing. Like a demon or whatever, the devil or whatever it was he was talking to. And I always, always loved that about him. And that's just, you know, me and my cousins being little and curious, that's a different story, you know. Like we were these little kids hearing these stories and we were like, oh, we're going to do some crazy stuff. We're going to like wake this stuff up. And we tried. You know, I was always like one of the younger ones. So I was more on like the outskirts of that, but I have older cousins and then my brother was involved in a lot of it and they would try to like, conjure up all this stuff. You know, like they would play, do y'all remember the game? It has something to do with Mary and essentially you stand in front of a mirror.
Bloody Mary.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Did you ever play that?
Yes.
God, it's so dumb.
I was never dumb enough.
Yes, it's so dumb.
There's the judgment. Oh, man.
Judgment.
Oh, dude, let me tell you. Yeah. No, heap it. It's deserved. Good Lord. Seances, Bloody Mary stuff.
Oh, yeah.
In graveyards on Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
I could go on. You keep going, but I just want you to know you're not alone. Keep going.
That makes me feel good. At least two out of three. Yeah, like luckily, like I said, I was always younger, so I would always like see them doing this stuff, you know, and they would like play Bloody Mary, like, and especially at my pawpaw's house, like it was just different, man. Like it wasn't like doing it at your own house. Like at his house, everything's awake. Like, right. Like the demonic realm and like the heavenly realm, if you want to call it that, like it's all awake. Right. Now the difference is like, if you invite it, it will come. Right. Like if you like open yourself up to it, it will open itself up to you. No matter where you're at. And it's funny because we would do that stuff upstairs in his house and then we would all be scared to come back downstairs because we know that he knows like we were up to no good. Right. Like he knows what's happening. Like there was this shed in their backyard that, had these like possums that would hang out in the shed. And my cousin, he had the bright idea to like, to like open the shed doors and like go in there. And I forget, there was a game he played where like you try to like find the demons. I forget the name of the game. It was like an actual game. You like literally the point is to find the demons, and he did.
Pokemon, yeah.
Like Pokemon, yeah.
Pokemon Go, yeah.
And
oh, that's so good.
Gotta catch them all.
Yeah. I hope not.
Yeah. Probably my brother, because he was older, and they all went out there, and one of them they did enough to where they literally got like these possums came running out of the shed and like attacking them. It was crazy stuff, you know, like they were open to it and they invited the demons to come. And so these possums come out and literally attack them. And I think one of my cousins even got like hurt, like pretty bad, if I remember correctly, and just like crazy stuff like that. And again, like I thank God was too young for them to invite me into all their like games they would play. But that was the kind of stuff they did, you know. Because hearing like stories from my papa about him and his brothers, you know, like throwing rocks at the tree and the tree throwing it back at them. And they're like, oh, we want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, being curious little kids that don't have much, they don't have the same discernment that we would now as adults. And you know.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. There was this curiosity of the supernatural and the paranormal at a young age. And especially when you grow up around it and there's no question in your mind of, oh yeah, it's real. You're already past that part of it. It's just like, I want to interact with it.
Yeah.
And too often we put energy into, you know, the demonic side, because that's like fast food, you know, tit right. for tat. And the things of God, it is a relationship. Don't get me wrong. I've gotten plenty of things from the Lord that I probably didn't deserve. Mm-hmm. And in a short time frame, but it is this ever-growing relationship, and where he, you know, walks with you and the gifts are activated. And, you know, too often we focus on that other side and just like, do you see that? The little Ouija board thing moved. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Bro, is that you? Yeah. No, and me. You know, and it's just interesting. Too often that's not recognized. And what's the word I'm looking for here? Groomed. I'll just say it that way.
Yeah.
Like, this person has a heart for that, for the things of the spirit. Let's point it in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
I luckily got found out in my early 20s by someone who said that's part of a deliverance calling. That's what the curiosity is attached to. Make sure it's for the things of God. Don't let that get away from you anymore. And you know, because there's open doors that come with that. And it's nasty, but I just love that, you know. I'm sorry, I'm stuck on the possums. Demon possums, demon shed possums.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. You know, you mentioned open doors, and this thought just occurred to me. So I want to go down this little trail real quick. We recognize now that it's dumb to do those kind of games, and we're not shaming anyone who has, you know, so no, we don't shame people on this podcast, but it is wise to recognize that when you do those things, even innocently as a child, that there are actual spiritual doors or portals that are opened in your life. Portals. I'm reminded of the movie Nefarious, and there's this scene where the premise of the movie, it's a really good movie to watch. Don't do it if you're particularly squeamish or prone to like fright. But anyway, the premise of the movie is that there is this guy on death row, and he is claiming to be possessed by a demon. So they send in the psychologist to evaluate him because he's on death row. And if he's crazy, they can't excuse him. So he has to interview him. So there's this point where the demon is talking to this psychologist, and he's like, invite me in. If you will invite me in and just give me an invitation, we can move forward with this conversation. I'll give you the information you want to know. Mm-hmm. So like, in this scene, this psychologist is like, fine. I invite you in. And he's like, see, nothing happened. Cause the psychologist is complete skeptic. He's like, nothing happened. You can't do anything to me. And the demon says, don't gloat. I got exactly what I wanted from you. And then it comes into play later in the movie where you see that the demon actually was able to enter in through that open door. So I go down that whole rabbit trail just to point out that, listener, if you have dabbled in the past with Ouija boards or seances or throwing rocks at a tree with the intention of a demon throwing it back, or
demon shed possums.
Demon shed demon possums chase the demon. whatever it is, don't feel shame, but ask the Lord. Tell him that you recognize, okay, this was wrong. I ask for your forgiveness. I repent for this mistake. I ask the blood of Jesus to cover me. And in the name of Jesus, we're talking about the believer's authority. It keeps coming up. It keeps coming up. It keeps coming up. In the name of Jesus, this door, this open door, is now closed in my life. Anything that came through this door, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out. And it's really just that simple. You can take communion with it if you want, whatever you want to make it feel significant, make it feel like, but it doesn't matter how it feels, because it's just that simple and it will work.
Right.
Oh yeah. Holy Ghost deadbolt.
Yeah.
Shut that bad boy down. Been down that road.
Mm. The Holy Ghost clink, clink.
Yeah. 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 Had to repent of a lot of stuff like that. And yeah. So I got to get back to the story of Austin here.
Okay.
So we've covered, you know, younger you, the amazing OG Holy Ghost grandpa that you had, the effect that had on your life and multiple generations even before you. And that's awesome. You coming up in the Church of God, you know, kindred spirits represent there. But I want to know, what are you doing for the kingdom now? And you know what? Before that, what got you to this place? A little bit of between.
Okay. We're going to be here for a while.
That's the plan.
Yeah. So I think like up to, I think I told you guys, you know, like I grew up, you know, my dad was a music pastor. So music was always in me, right? It's like from the, like as long as I can remember, I just loved music. I loved, you know, like piano. My dad was a piano player. He got his degree in composition. And but it was just always in me, and you know, singing and all that. And so I, youth group was vital for me. That's where I met my wife, where I met probably all of my best friends to this day, especially my best friend, who's like my brother and his wife. We were all youth group kids together. And, just kind of backtracking. So like I moved around a lot when I was little. My parents wound up getting divorced when I was, 11 or 12. And, so because of that, I was born in North Carolina in Gastonia, but we were living in Florida at the time. Cause like I said, when you're a Church of God music pastor, you just go from to whatever church is next. Right. And that's no shade on the Church of God, at all, but that's just kind of the way it was for us. And, we were in Florida at the time when my parents got divorced in Tampa, and then we wound up moving back to Gastonia, North Carolina, where I'm from. And that's where I met my wife at our home church, what I like to call my home church now, which is Union Road. And, you know, like that's where this church is where I really, I like to say, found my voice and kind of found out who I was, or started to find out who I was. You never really, I guess you never really find out who you are until you're dead. But, that's where I started to find out who I was, you know, and, I was blessed enough to like have people in my life who gave me permission. And I had, you know, I can look back at a handful of people, like youth, one youth pastor specifically, that he just gave me permission to be me and worship, and to worship freely. And so it became, you know, I was leading worship in youth group, and I was also in like a metal band, which is a whole other story for another time. But, you know, worship was always like, that was my heart. I've always been a worshiper, you know, more than I've ever been a worship leader or pastor. I've just been a worshiper. I love to worship the Lord. It's my favorite thing in the world. And so we had a youth pastor at the time, who is actually, his wife is my wife's best friend now, but, he was just one of the oddballs in the Church of God that, he wasn't necessarily known as like your typical COG guy. He was the weird guy that, was kind of an outcast, but he happened to be the youth pastor, and he was just really into like the spontaneous words of wisdom, prophecy and things like that. And, which wasn't very, at least at the church that I, grew up in, we didn't really entertain that much, you know, And so he wound up taking me and our youth band to a conference at Morningstar in Fort Mill. And I saw, it was my first time being back at Fort Mill since it was PTO when I was little, because my parents used to go to the PTL conferences there, which were awesome. PTL days were the best. I can't say enough. But so for those of you that don't know, PTL eventually kind of fell out, right? And then came Morningstar. And so he took us to our Morningstar conference, and it was at that conference. If I could look back at like a moment that I had like a life changing encounter, it was that one. You had worship leaders like Susie Rye, and, you know, Jonathan David Helser was leading worship at this conference, John Mark McMillan and those guys, that era of guys of Morningstar music, Leonard Jones, Sean Foyt was there, and just the music and the atmosphere at that conference changed my life. Just like the expressions of worship that were coming out of that place. I'll never forget it. It marked me. And as a young worshiper, I needed that, right? It really just gave me permission to sing the song of the Lord, no matter what it sounded like. And so that, you know, being at that conference coupled with this youth pastor and leading worship in our youth group was a totally different experience than the worship that was happening like on Sunday mornings in our adult service. You know, our youth group was having times of worship that just were wild because of like all of that going on and the influences we were getting from the whole Morningstar world, you know, and it just set my heart on fire, honestly. You know, like I think I just found my voice in that season of life. And yeah, I look back at that. And then from there, it's, you know, just been the natural progression, I guess, leading up to where I am now as the worship pastor at my church. You know, obviously it's like, there's everything that happened in between. Cause I was 16 and I'm 32 now. Right. But, that really started, I feel like that's where I started to figure out who I am. That's when I started to figure out who I am. And, from that season of life, I started writing songs, right, and started finding out that side of worship, like writing music, you know, which unlocked a whole new world to me, because I was like, oh, I can actually write my own songs, you know. And it's cool because now, you know, my best friend, he actually worked for Morningstar as their worship pastor for a while, and I've got to lead worship there, you know, multiple times since then. But I think that place coupled with like the people that were in my life at that time of my life where I was so impressionable, because 16, I think like y'all could probably agree you're about as impressionable as it can get. Right. As opposed to being like, you know, in your 30s, you know, there's not much that
jaded.
Yeah.
I know what I know.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, so 16, exactly. That number comes up for a second time now. Interesting.
First That's your, funny you say that.
First, yeah. Your grandfather. Now you keep going.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I never really put that together. Yeah. Yeah, and that's also when I met my wife. Maybe it was 15 when we met, but we were 16, I believe, when we started dating. but honestly, that season of life, all the people involved in my life now are because of that season. You know, like my best friends, we're at a different church now, but it's funny because a lot of the people I grew up with and that were leaders in my life at that point are some of my best friends, you know, where we're at now in our church, and which is right down the road from where I grew up. And we're all, you know, leading worship together on Sunday mornings and just doing life together. And it all kind of sparked from that. And, you know, there's been different people that have been in and out of my life since then and that have kind of, you know, made some crazy decisions like we all do. And that I'm not so involved with, but the core group of people are the people that I would call family.
Hmm.
And I grew up late, I would say. Because this is not by any means to say that like I even think that I had it all together. I was a very late bloomer. you know, I was a very insecure kid, just in a lot of different ways. And I think it had a lot to do with like, you know, my parents divorced when I was, you know, in middle school, and that really being it. So I was very insecure, and I just didn't know what I wanted, man. You know, like I knew what I was passionate about, but I didn't know what I actually wanted. And so I, you know, wound up moving. I was used to moving because that was what we did, you know? So I've realized even being married now, how keen I was to just, if something wasn't 100% right, just getting away from it and moving. To the point where when I was 18, maybe 19, I was doing school online, which afforded me the option to just do kind of what I wanted because I just took online courses. And so I moved. We had a ministry come to our church in Gastonia, and it was called American Awakening, and which is like a big street ministry type thing. So like the big thing they do is, you know, they come to a church for a week and they take all the people out on the streets, right? You go on the streets and you do like street evangelism, and you're reading a script, and it's that type of thing, right? And I loved it. That was just my next thing. I was like, oh, I'm going to give my life to this. And because it just set me on this whole new course of like, oh, I can do this. Like I can lead people to the Lord. And there are aspects of all that I, to this day, I love street evangelism, you know, and like, cause there's some like amazing things that happen, but like, I was so impressionable that instead of listening to the Holy Spirit, I just said, I love this and I want to just do it. And so I moved to Florida and I became an intern at this church, in Fort Myers, and it was terrible. It was just, for lack of a better word, you know, like, it was just terrible. I was just intern and I bounced around from house to house because, what I didn't realize is this church that I moved to be an intern at for the ministry, just, it wasn't an actual internship. It was more of like, we're going to get you there. But once you get there, you have a Sunday school classroom you're going to sleep in and no shower, like no way to like get around. Like there was no program, right? At all. It was just, you get there and we're going to use you to go when we travel to different churches. But when you're at the church, you're there. And they were like rats, like that lived like in this Sunday school room. This, that wasn't even used. It was like the old side of their church. Anyways, this is all a long story, but I say all that to say, I just kind of hopped around. Like from there, I finished my year internship, and then I moved back to Gastonia, my home church, where I was born. And then I was there long enough to realize, like, I don't think this is it. And so I left again and I moved back to Florida, and I moved with another family. I moved in with a family that I was involved with in the previous ministry, and things just didn't, I wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit through any of this season of my life. And this was most of my early 20s. And I was just like, I think just a kid, even in my early 20s, right? Like, and I just kind of hopped around because that's what I knew best. You know, that's what my mom did. That's what my dad did. And I hope they never listen to this podcast.
Can we just say this episode? I imagine when you told that story, just you sleeping in a Sunday school room and like fighting over your pillow with rats or something. Like,
dude, it was wild. Like, it was so bad. Like, it was this like run down old Sunday school building that wasn't even part of the church. And there was like, it was infested by rats. I was the only one. I was the only one that lived there.
Jeez.
And yeah.
And what's crazy is you preface this and you keep going back to, I wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit. I wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because if you had been listening to the Holy Spirit and you were in those same circumstances, you'd be telling this story a completely different way.
Oh, yeah.
If he had sent you there, you'd be like, the Lord did all this stuff. And let me tell you, it wasn't the greatest situation, but. Mm. And it's just like, listeners, listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And Light in the Darkness podcast. But more importantly, listen to Holy Spirit, because he will lead you where you need to go. And you can save years of wasted energy and wasted motion and heartache. And it's like, it's never too late to start. You could be 50, 60, 70 years old. Start listening to the Holy Spirit and you'll have a different story.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And like, I'm the last person to like, I don't regret things. Like that's all of those decisions have led me up to this point. And my life, I can't imagine the life I have now and the decisions I made, not like, you know, like leading me to this point in life, like where I'm at now. It's like, I'm have a beautiful wife and a beautiful son. And like, I love where we're at in life. And I weirdly have to look back at all that. And I can't not believe that like that led me to this point. Right. So it's like, on the same hand, I'm so grateful. Like, I'm thankful that like that season of life, you know, like really formed and shaped me. And it like, it's like, it taught me to listen to the Holy Spirit, you know, like, because at the end of it all, it's like when I moved and when I was 25, that whole season, I went up going from Florida to Texas and then back at 25, I lost everything. Like I was engaged. I was living in Texas and I was engaged to this girl that had no business being engaged to. Her family was like really, it was like a very oppressive situation. And it was like, I blinked and I was there. Like, I don't even know how I got there in life. It was so weird. And I was breaking out in these like terrible, like hives on like my forehead. And like, I was losing my hair and like I was like oppressed, honestly. And I just kind of woke up at one night. We were building a house for me and this girl to live in.
Jeez.
And yeah,
this was legit.
It was legit. I was in. Yeah. And we were building a house and it was just one day. I just literally woke up and I was like, I do not want this. Like, I don't know what's happening. I don't feel myself. Like, I was literally, I was losing like weight. I was so small. Like, it was just all these, like all this crazy stuff. And I just was like, I don't want this anymore. And in the middle of the night, I packed up like my car and I was 25 and I moved to, my mom was living in Tennessee at the time. And I just drove to Tennessee from Texas, which is, if anyone knows, that's a drive. Mm.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's a drive. Yeah. And, I got to my mom's house and I stayed with her for like a month. And that month was like, I needed it, man. I just went through so much healing and I just literally just spent nothing but time with the Lord for like a month. And that was it. I didn't work. I barely ate. Like it was almost like, where you go rehab for me, you know, rehab, but at your mom's house, thank God that's much better than actual rehab. Right. But, sure. but yeah. And it was like rehab for me. And at the end of it all, I was just like, man, it was like happened so quick. And it's just like what you said, I wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit. And yeah.
So I guess whether you wake up in the middle of a building a house engagement scenario.
Yeah.
Whether you wake up, in my case, in the middle of a class when you're at seminary school and going, you know what? I want to do things for the kingdom.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm supposed to be a pastor. It's so, so important and time saving to just go, Holy Spirit, what are we going to do today? You know, and maybe for the rest of my life, what are we doing? Let's start with today. And
yeah,
that direction, that leading is so precious. And once you have it, and once you know that still small voice, it's like, thank you, God. And what did I ever do before this? Right. Oh, wait, I remember. I messed up so much more.
Yeah.
Gosh, man, that's a nugget right there.
Yeah, it is. Man, the Holy Spirit's awesome. Like, what would we do without the Holy Spirit? You know, it's like
sitting in a seminary class somewhere right now, working on my doctorate, I guess. Yeah. And just being like,
You wouldn't have made it that far. You would have got your first degree and moved on and started actually working.
Oh, that's actually fair.
I didn't mean to make it sound that way. Like, that's okay. I don't see you pursuing a doctorate, but hey, the Lord can lead.
Well, he did. And I just remember that conversation with my grandfather. He's like, son, did the Lord tell you to go to seminary? I didn't ask him, Poppy. He's like, you might want to ask him. Yeah, we talked. That ain't the plan.
So, Austin, your grandfather being such a tremendous influence on your life, how old were you when he passed on?
Yeah. It's actually a good question. I have to do some math here. So I'm 32 now. That would have been around 2016. So yeah, 32 minus
25.
Yeah, 25.
25,
yeah,
so 26, 25, 26.
24,
whatever.
So right about the same time that, you know, I was like in this very crucial moment of life where I was like not in the place I needed to be. And so you pile all that on top of it, and that was maybe a very vulnerable, you know, like just kind of broken person.
Mm.
And yeah, that was a tough time.
Mm.
But because I feel like it sounds sad, but it's actually not. So I left and I moved back home. Like Gastonia's always been home for me, and quickly just kind of luckily me and my wife just always stayed, you know, we were always friends no matter what. Even when I was dumb enough to break up with her when we were 17, close to 18, and leave and move and have all these other relationships, whatever, you know, like we never weren't friends, at least. And also we had the same best friends, which helps. And so I moved back home, and I went to my church that I'm actually the worship pastor at now. That's, cause everyone I know is there, and that's been my home church since then. And we just kind of, you know, I think I just reached out to her the same way I did when I was a 16-year-old kid on MySpace.
You stick with what works.
Yeah. I mean, she plays bass at our church, and I said something along the lines of like, hey, like you did good today. That's not what my intentions at all. Like, let's be honest. Like, I wanted to hang out and I wanted to see her, and I just wanted us to. And so we started the conversation that way. And then, yeah, we're married a year and a half, close to 2 years later.
Did she secretly always have a thing for you lurking in the background and she was waiting for you, or was it just, man, like,
so that's the part that stinks, is she never dated anyone except for me, like ever. And her thing, even when we were kids, when I say kids, I mean like 15-year-olds, she made that known, which I thought was crazy, right? Like, why wouldn't you date around? My mom told me like, date as much as you can, learn what you can about yourself, which is so wrong. But, you know, but, I would never tell my son that, cause it's such a bad idea. She was determined that, like, you know, she was never going to date someone she didn't have the intention to marry, even as a 15-year-old, which I think is amazing. And she never did. Like, the whole time I was like, you know, like from 15 to 25, you know, so almost 10 years, I was like just going off doing whatever I wanted, and she just didn't, you know, like.
I had a youth pastor put it this way. He said, I hope you kids don't just keep dating and breaking up and dating up and or dating and breaking up and dating and breaking up, because you're just practicing for divorce later. Mm. He's like, stop destroying your heart. Stop dragging it through the mud and, you know, just getting yourself all worked up. He's like, if you don't see yourself marrying that person, just don't put in the time.
Mm.
Don't do that to your heart. Don't create all these new things that, you know, you need to give to the Lord and have him come in and heal. Don't add scars, essentially.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I wish if someone did tell me that, I wasn't listening like at all. Yeah. I wish more people told me that.
I was told I didn't listen till a couple years later. So.
Yeah. No, but it's just kind of like our story since then, you know, like we got back together, and it's like, now here we are, you know, and we have this beautiful son and this beautiful life that I can't imagine having any other way, right? Like, thank you, Jesus. And I'm just so grateful for, like, redemption, you know? Like, he really redeemed all those years that, like, I felt like were lost, you know, for lack of a better term. It's like, even the Sunday, I remember being back at our home church, our pastor's wife, our pastors are actually some of my best friends now, like my pastor. They're not just my pastors, they're my friends, which I love. And she had a word for me that morning. It was like one of the first Sundays I was back home. And she didn't have any idea what was going on the last, like, you know, almost 7 years of my life. Had no idea. We stayed in contact, but like not that much. And she actually had a word of knowledge I believe she, no, that's what it was. I'm remembering right now. She had a word of knowledge and she came and she said, I feel like someone has been going through enough that the scars are starting to show on their body. And I was like, immediately when she said that, I said, that's me. Like, I didn't say that's me, but I was like, that's me. Cause I was starting to, get these terrible, like, I don't know what they were, but like cuts on my forehead. Like on both sides, and like to the point where they were infected, it looked terrible. Like it was bad. And I had to wear hats just to cover my face. Cause I was like kind of ashamed. And, she said, I feel like someone has scars, and the Lord just, she said, like, the Lord's just telling me, like, you're going to be redeemed today. Like you're, that stuff's got to stop. Like it's got to go. And I never actually, weirdly, I never was the guy that got up and went to the altar for altar calls. I had too much pride, I guess. I don't know. I was always so prideful. And that was the first time in my life as a 25-year-old that I was like, no, that's me. And I have to go talk to her right now because that was so specific. And she prayed over me. And within a week, those things went away. And, you know, my life has like dramatically changed since that point. Really, if I look back at it now, because of a word of knowledge she got, which is so crazy. That's so cool, right?
And that just built your faith in that moment.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh, God sees me right where I'm at.
Yeah, man.
There's something about being in that rock bottom moment when you're like, all I can literally do is look up. Like when it was physically manifesting on your forehead and that's getting called out, it's like, okay, Lord, faith builder, I will screw this pride.
Yeah.
I'm going to that altar and I'm laying this down. And
yeah.
That's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So we know that you're a worship pastor. Mm-hmm. What else ministry-wise, like, do you operate in any of the gifts? Are you prophetic? Do you have a healing anointing? Is there any other way outside of, I don't want to make it sound like I'm minimalizing worship leading, because that's not at all what it is, but like, is there more that the Lord partners with you to work in the lives of his children?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I would say the prophetic, especially as like when I am leading worship, is when I just get like, you know, like words from the Lord for like his body, especially our church that I'm in. Most of the words that I get at this point in my life are for our church body or my family. And that comes out when I'm leading worship, right? It starts there. And I would say like, that's probably the gift I operate in the most is the prophetic, especially like kind of hand in hand with worship, leading worship. And my wife, the same, she grew up at Morningstar. So they're all about the prophetic for any of you Morningstar people. So that's her. And then she's just like a prayer warrior, man. I think I was telling you guys before the podcast, like she is just so, she has the words to say that people need to hear. And it's so the Holy Spirit and it's so evident like on her life. And I've always loved that about her. And she's also like an artist. So, you know, like part of some of our dreams are to really tap into that. You know, I don't know where that, what that looks like in the next few years, but it's tap into like just the artistic side of worship and prophetic like expressions of worship. But yeah, to answer your question, I think the prophetic realm, I mean, I would love to operate in the gifts of healing like more. Like I know I have access, right? Like I 100% believe that like my body's healed and like because of what Jesus did on the cross, I can do the same things that he did. You know, like he's given me permission. And not only that, like that's what he's called me to do. And I literally want to see more miracles happen in my life than I do. And I'm just being honest, right? So I want to get more into that. And maybe I need to want it more. I don't know. Mm. I've actually, my pastor, he says, you're going to see the things that you want to see. And like, it really challenged me when I heard him say that the first time, because I was like, I can say every day of the week, you know, like I want to see more like miracle signs and wonders, but how bad do I want it? And I can say every day of the week, like, you know, like if I wake up with a headache, oh, like my head is healed, but how much do I hate it not being healed? Right. I don't know if you guys follow Andrew Womack, but he talks about like hating sickness. Like he hates being sick. And the guy is like, you know, I don't know how old, but he hasn't had like even a headache in like the last 30 years. And he just walks in that like healing anointing where it's just like, if you want it, like it's yours. Like if you say like, you know, like if you wake up and your arm's hurting and you don't want your arm to hurt, talk to your arm, tell it you have no right. Like I have authority over your arm, like be healed and it's healed.
Amen.
And, that's kind of how I see healing, but I want to see more miracles. Really. I say all that to say, I just want to see more. I've seen a few here and there. Like I've seen, you know, legs kind of grow out, and this is not to minimize healings, right? Like, but I want to see people like literally come out of the grave. Like I want to see people that are dead, like just wake up, just stuff like that. And, I don't know. Does that answer your question?
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, does that answer it? Jeez.
No, I think that's the part of being sick that I always hate the most. It's not actually being sick. It's that like, no, like this is not how this is supposed to be in my body.
Yeah.
Like this is not what Jesus died for. Mm. Jesus died for me to have health and wholeness. And that's the biggest thing when I'm sick is not only am I not feeling well physically, it's like, why is like what I know to be true, not like
manifested
in my current present reality. Like, why do I have this cough? Why do I have this headache? Why do I have, and it just, that's what bothers me the most about it. And, you know, my encouragement is just, people rarely will turn you down for praying. Mm. People will rarely, if you approach it with a, hey, I'm a Christian and I see that you have this going on in your body. Can I just, do you mind if I just pray with you real quick?
Yeah.
Cause I believe God heals these kind of things. We always build it up in our mind. Like they're going to, I don't know, spit in our face or yeah. call us names yeah. or, you know, people real rarely, there's whole TikTok pages where people like ask, like, will you take prayer? And almost never will anyone say no. And it's just like, people want to be cared for. So that would just be my encouragement is you will see it more when you start pursuing it. You may not see it every time, but you'll start to see it.
Yeah.
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 I'll say this just to paint that picture. I was on a missions trip in Atlanta and we spent a couple hours at like where the train gets off. And we prayed with people getting on and coming off that train all day. And of all the people I asked that whole day, one person didn't want prayer.
Mm.
One person. And I mean, so if you want, you know, statistics of, you know, yeses and nos, man, spent all day and just one.
Mm.
You would be shocked how many people like almost instantly went to tears and were just like, yes, I want prayer so bad. Can we go to the Lord? And it's like, man, they did half the work right there. We don't even have to do the formalities. It's like, let's go to the King.
Yeah.
Let's go right now. You know, and they would immediately, it's crazy like how they were already in such a similar place. They're like, would you lay hands on my arm? You know, can we pray for my son's salvation? You know, this one dude, he's homeless. I didn't realize he lived right there where we were standing. And he was just like, yeah, man, I just need to pray to get back on my feet. And I was like, I'm a 16-year-old kid. I don't read the room. I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, yeah, I'm kind of living here. And then that hits you like a ton of bricks. And it's like, well, let's take that to the Father. I had the Lord tell me something yesterday when I was talking to him about the podcast and just some stuff that me and Corey are seeking. And I got back an answer I didn't expect. And I was like, you know, Lord, can we do this? And, you know, I would love to see this happen. And he was like, then ask.
Mm.
I was like, well, you know, that's the desires of my heart, Father. And he's like, yep, but you didn't ask me.
Yeah.
Ask. And so right there, I just audibly, I'm like, Father, you know, I want A, B, and C. Mm. That's the desires of my heart and to do these things for your kingdom. And there was this peace that just washed over me because I'm like, I just gave this to the God of this universe in faith. And it's done. So you want more miracles? Bro, I say ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's the advice he's given me lately.
Yeah.
Put it to you that way.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I agree. I receive that for sure. I know that it's funny. There was this was like maybe 10 years ago. I was in the middle. So it's funny the things, the encounters you have with the Lord, even in like the most disobedient seasons of life, right?
Yeah.
He's so good that way, even though like you're an idiot.
Hallelujah.
All right, Sister Shirley.
Where'd she get? Sit down, Sister Shirley. That's enough.
Stop showing off.
That just you saying that reminded me. It's like we were at this church in New York called the Upper Room with this ministry I used to be a part of. I was telling you all about, and it's like this huge church in Long Island, and we were in the middle of, so like we used to do like with this ministry what they called crusades, right? So fancy term for like revival or like a week of ongoing services, like day and night. And that was what we did. We would travel to these different cities and we would do week. And then if it went good, you extended, right, to 3 weeks, 4 weeks, however long. And anyways, we were in this church in Long Island and we were leading worship one night. And the Lord like pointed out this lady to me while we were leading worship. And I remember he said, like, she's had like these headaches for like years, and like migraine headaches that are so bad she cannot get rid of them. And it was so specific, and that would happen to me from time to time, but I just wouldn't ever say anything or do anything about it. Honestly, I would just be like, if I'm wrong, I'm gonna be an idiot, right? Like, it's that pride thing, right? Mm-hmm. And he said that, and so I just, from the stage, I was just like, you know, like I feel like there's some, I never want to single anyone out. Especially as a, I feel like that can be like kind of scary for people. And so like, I always try to like make it corporate as much as I can, if like I have a word for somebody. And so like I said, you know, from the stage, I was like, I feel like there's just, you know, like some people here, maybe it's just one person. I feel like that's how I said it. I said, and you just been having these headaches for years. And like the Lord just wants to make that stop now. Like this needs to be the last day that you have these headaches. This is going to be, if you just receive it, right? Cause you have to receive it. Like if you don't want it, it's not going to happen. And man, it was like, she, within a second, like I started to say it and she just, you know, like came down to the front of the service and she just started bawling like her eyes out. And, I even like made it a point to talk to her after the service, which was super late. It was like after 1 o'clock in the morning. And I said like, hey, like, was that word for you? Cause I wanted to confirm it.
Like, I wanted, you know, like the Lord had showed me it was you.
Did I miss God or can you, you know, give me a thumbs up?
Yeah. But it was awesome because she was like, yeah, it was 100% for me. And she was like, and my head was hurting when I got here like tonight. And it's like not hurting at all. She said it like happened immediately. And I was like, wow. I was like, that's amazing. And I was also like, thank you, Jesus. Like, you know, and like that those things are like happen. So it's like kind of like what you said. It's like, I think that I've not always, but for a long time, like kind of flowed in like the healing and the prophetic side, but I've like kind of given myself permission just to the prophetic as opposed to like both. You know, if I'm just being honest, while it's just us three guys here, right? And I think like, if I like look back on like those moments, like, and there's other things like that have happened. Like, again, it's like going back to what I was saying. It's like, if you want it, it will happen. Like, if you want to see more, just ask. And like what you said. So I received that 100%, man. Like,
thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Asking you shall receive, right?
Bro, it is that simple sometimes.
Yeah.
Too often we are the biggest barrier between us and the things of God.
Mm.
And I won't tell the story right now, but I made it so much harder on myself receiving the baptismal of the Holy Spirit than it had to be.
Mm.
And I know people that literally got saved and walked into it moments later. But sometimes we just get in our own head and we play this, sometimes a game of worthiness, like I'm worthy, I'm not worthy, or, you know, even Church of God, you know. Sometimes it was the, well, I got to get right before I can do that.
Mm.
I got to go through this sanctification process. And then, you know, I can operate in this gift. You know, that was something sometimes that would just be a hold up.
Mm.
But it is just that simple, man. Just ask in faith and start operating.
Yeah.
God wants to use you.
Mm.
Dear listener, you too. God wants to operate through you.
Yeah.
You know, God wants to take you places. He wants to use you. He wants the gifts to flow, all of them.
All of them. Yeah, that's right.
This is not like a withholding thing. They're called gifts for a reason. And let me tell you something. You don't want to go backwards on them once you start. So think on that. Chew on that. Marinate. Moral of the story. Ask. Dude, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thanks. Your testimony, hearing about your grandfather, you know, the Lord just catching you at a young age and this journey you went on. I'm taken aback. And it's just so cool to see, as you said, it all started with a choice of a 16-year-old boy who chose to follow his Savior just in faith. And look at the results that can have generations later. So I can't wait to see the impact you have on your family generations from now. And the fact that you're going to be that grandfather.
Yeah.
Praise God, man. That is awesome to just get to see it come full circle.
Amen. Now, before we close, I'm going to ask my question as eyes are drying in the room. Before we pressed record, I know you've listened to a fair amount of our podcast, our little old show here. Before you came on and you were thinking about maybe on the drive over, maybe last night when you were saying your nighttime prayers, were there any stories or any encounters or any morals or any psalms or poems or songs you want to sing? Was there anything that the Lord was stirring on your heart to share with our listeners that you just haven't gotten to? The conversation hasn't gone in that way. We moved on past a topic, or we just haven't asked the right question.
Yeah, I think, like, even just like based on our conversation we've just had, it's like, I think I'm just reminded of how good he is, you know, and it's like deserved or not, right? He's just so good. And I think if there's anything that, like, I want to encourage anyone that's listening to this podcast, like, just like, you're never too far gone, man. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm speaking to just like one person, but, if you're listening to this, like, you're listening to someone who just has seen how redemptive the Lord can be and, his redemptive work. And, if you're in a season of life where you just feel like you've lost everything, right? Like, at one point I feel like I lost everything. If you feel like you're too far gone, or like you've made too many bad decisions, like, you just haven't, that's not true. And I don't know. So right now I just speak to whatever lie the enemy is saying, and I just tell that voice to be silent. And I just thank you right now, Holy Spirit, for showing up in that person's room or wherever they are, in their car, if they're listening to this, and they're, you know, maybe at work, they're listening on their AirPods. I don't know. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for just reminding them that they're your son, your daughter, and that there's no place that they have been that you couldn't redeem them from. There's no choice that they've made that, disqualifies your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you that they're right now just even being reminded of your grace and your mercy and your love. At the end of the day, your loving kindness. You're so kind and you're so faithful, so, so faithful. And thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to me when I wasn't even listening to you. I could care less. Thank you, Lord, that you care. You just care so much. And you love us so much. So I'm speaking to you, listener, in Jesus' name. You are going to be redeemed. You are, you're going to make it. You're just going to make it.
I tell you what, life has ups, life has downs. But honestly, you follow Jesus, and even in these precarious situations where you go, how did I get here? He will lead you out. Not only that, a 16-year-old boy leaving home to follow Christ. I still can't wrap my mind around it, to leave everything you know, everything, and say, I choose you, Jesus. If any of us could grab anything from this episode, maybe it's, what would you do if you felt the call? What would you do? Would you follow Jesus? Wow, this one really got me. Now, speaking of things that also get us, we have a tradition here at good old LITD Pod of something we like to call a shout out. Take it away, Mr. Cuddy.
Today's shout out goes to someone very special who will become special to our podcast. And oh, well, we don't exactly have a timetable just yet. Now, what could that possibly mean? Why am I being so cryptic? Well, let me tell you, dear listeners, today's shout out comes to little baby Barnes. Now, before I get all the congratulations and all those things, let me go ahead and spell out how baby Barnes is coming to the Barnes household. So back in August, Megan and I started talking about adoption, and it felt different. It felt right. So we've been in the process of pursuing baby Barnes through adoption. We'll be fully ready in just about a month and a half or so to receive baby Barnes at our household. Now, we don't know exact timing. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know if baby Barnes will be a boy or a girl, but we sure are excited, and we are waiting, and we are praying over every conceivable thing that we can think of to make sure that baby Barnes has a smooth delivery, that baby Barnes's mother will be loved and cared for and part of our lives for a long time, that baby Barnes will be able to grow up knowing his birth mother, her birth mother, and that they'll be able to have a wonderful relationship, and that they'll know that they're well cared for. So today's shout out, baby Barnes coming sometime, we do believe, in 2024.
And we do love you, baby Barnes, very, very much. And your Uncle Daniel and TT Abby, can't wait to meet you. Ugh, love it. And guys, we love you. But maybe you don't feel like you know us. So if you want to get to know me, or Core, or the heart behind the show, you can do so at a little place called LITDpod.com.
That's LITDpod.com.
LITDpod.com. Now, if you have something we can get in agreement with you in prayer about, or you have a supernatural or paranormal encounter and you want to share it with us, or even bigger than that, a testimony. We love testimonies. Well, you can send that to us at litdpod@gmail.com.
Why, that's litdpod@gmail.com.
litdpod@gmail.com. Guys, we love you. We are so thankful for you, each and every one of you who clicks on our little lantern and listens. God bless you. And until next time, take care, y'all.
How did you get in? I don't know. What are you doing in my ether?
Oh, it's yours.
I mean, I assumed it was mine until you walked in, so maybe it's the ether or the meta.
Oh, great. Maybe Tesla owns this. How do we get out?
I don't know. Didn't you use a sticker or something last time? Or was that just a bit?
I'm going to be honest. It was a bit. That was just echo on the microphone.
So you haven't actually been to the ether before?
I have now. I know how this movie ends.
Smells like cotton candy.
I'm going to be honest. That looks like a river of chocolate. Dip your finger in it. Chocolate? Maybe we can do cool stuff. Let me see if I can fly.
I don't recommend it. Gravity still seems to work here.
While that's a valid point, it's a 10-foot drop. Here goes nothing.
On your own head.
Yep. But I did fall with style. You can bleed me either. How about that?
It's really red blood.
Yeah, very metallic. How about that? Hey, it clocks quick too.
Oh.
Touch your face.
Whoa. Don't do that again.
Hey, what's in the ether?
Look over here. Cora, I found the way out.
What in the world?
John Goodman's here. He's showing me the way. Come on, Cora.
Wait. Daniel, where'd you go? Are you over by the poop river? Hello? John Goodman.